Dudes behind the foods. Yo, it's the dudes behind the foods. Dudes behind the foods. Yeah, it's the dudes behind the foods.
That's actually really fucking good.
Wow, wow, what a treat, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all joined us for an amazing day. It's a feast of a day because my fucking skinny boy David's so skinny.
Hello, my friends. I have been losing weight.
Yo, this man looks sexy as shit.
Let me tell you something. People treat you differently when you lose weight, and it is disgusting. All right. People ask for more hugs.
Well, because they know they can hug you and not get some waft of funk.
I have never been stinky. And I vehemently did. Let me tell you something, this motherfucker over here, right? I had this one post where I forgot to put my pants on. I had these boxers.
Oh, we talked about it already.
You stupid idiot.
Well, first of all, thank you. We got some El Pollo Loco, and I'm excited. Because I fucking love El Pollo Loco. Welcome back to Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
And I'm David So.
Wow. David, more like David So, a thread through a needle because you're fucking skinny boy, thin boy now.
I thought you were calling me Fat So.
No.
I was going to get really sad.
Those days are gone.
And let me tell you something. That was my nickname in elementary school.
Oh, we know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, let me tell you something. El Pollo Loco, if you guys want to pretend like you want to be healthy and have something delicious, El Pollo Loco is the shit.
But it actually is healthy.
Than fried chicken.
Well, yeah, and a lot of other things. I mean, El Pollo Loco is definitely, I heard it was like, you know, the healthiest fast food chain.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, and what I like to do, I like to, you know what I'm saying, get that tortilla. Get a rip off a chunk of that chicken. I like the dark meat. I ask for that leg and that thigh. Mm-hmm. I dip it in their little avocado salsa they got. Mm-hmm. Man.
Ooh. Mm. Do you know people who dislike El Pollo Loco?
Yes.
And let me tell you something. Those people are ridiculous. Thank you for saving me.
I got into a whole Twitter argument with, well, not argument, but this dude I know from Toronto, this dude Julian, he was tweeting about how trash El Pollo Loco is.
Okay, where does he live? I will fuck him up.
He's in Toronto.
How big is he?
With the mandem. He's a tall, sexy, light-skinned man.
Never mind, we'll just talk.
And I was trying to tell him that El Pollo Loco is fire. People sleep on it. And he probably got a bad batch. Because, look, there have been the occasions where, you know what I'm saying, maybe it's the end of the day. It's the last few little chickadees on the grill. Maybe this shit's kind of dry, okay? Sometimes you get a dry batch. But when you get a good batch, that shit hits, bro.
Like today.
Yes.
I always go to the same one that's really close to me. Right up at 10 a.m. It's all fresh as shit, juicy as hell. And I'll tell you this. I've been to a lot of other spots in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
that aren't the chain El Pollo Loco. And guess what? They're not even that great.
Mm.
Compared to this?
You talking about grilled chicken spots?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They got the formula down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't disrespect El Pollo Loco. I'll kiss you in your fucking mouth.
Look. Even the sides are popping.
Mm-hmm.
Their mac and cheese, like their fucking corn salsa. Like, everything's pretty delicioso, if I do say so.
Dude, so... A couple years back,
mm-hmm.
I had Mariel on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know the way me and Mariel talk. We fuck with each other all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we bicker back and forth. That's just how we've been since for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would have her on the podcast, and we were talking about this one time. We were just fucking around with each other because we went to El Pollo Loco.
Yeah,
and she wanted to get coleslaw or some shit. I'm like, don't get that shit. It's whack. I'm gonna get rice. And then we're bickering, we're having fun or whatever, whatnot. And then there was like a buddy of mine told me there was this Reddit thread saying that I'm an abusive boy, that I'm abusive because I control my lady and I won't even let her order the food that she wants.
Oh my God.
I'm like, this is a comedy podcast. How do you not know this by now? But there was like this whole thing. There was like TikToks about how abusive I am.
What? Yeah, like recent shit?
Yeah, it was like 2-3 years ago.
Oh my God.
Because I never had a TikTok, so I don't know these things.
That's what's crazy about taking things out of context, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you have shit like We have hour-long conversations with our now multiple podcasts. And sometimes we do bits. We be fucking around. Mm-hmm. And it'd be so easy for someone to take that out of context without any type of explanation, without watching the rest of the shit. You know what I'm saying? When all the content is being consumed in little one-minute chunks.
And one of the things, too, that Marijuana realized that we were talking about is that I think because she's not a comic, right, and she doesn't do, like, what we do, she'll try to one-up the comedy, but there's no context in it, and it just sounds really bad. Like, for example, it'll be like, I was like, dude, you farted last night. Your butt stings. She goes, well, you're a bitch. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second.
It's still pretty funny.
I'm like, hold on a second. I was like, I was here. You were here. Let's meet somewhere in the fucking middle. And I was like, what'd you call me a bitch? And she's like, what? Well, you said my butt stinks, so I called you a bitch. Aren't they the same thing? I'm like, no, it's not the same thing.
But let me tell you, though, if she went on Twitter, her shits would go viral. Because I love the exchanges I see where it's two people talking shit to each other on Twitter, and then the first person is, like, talking, like, yeah, you know, maybe you should get that, like, maybe you should get a new wig because your wig is looking raggedy or whatever, right? And then that person will clap back and be like, well, it looks like your mom won't be buying a wig anytime soon. And you go to that person's profile and says, rest in peace, mom. I love you.
That's fucking hilarious, dude.
It's like, I love that.
That's what Twitter's really good for when you kind of, it's never really the video comment. The video is the comments below that are fucking wild, man. Somebody wrote, because fucking Rachel Dolezal has nudes.
Oh, okay.
Bro, she opened up an OnlyFans, fucking Rachel Dolezal.
You're lying.
She did, and let me tell you something. Not my proudest fap, because I don't know what category she's supposed to be in.
You're like, Ebony Queen.
It's Rachel Dolezal. But she opened up fucking OnlyFans.
Wow, I mean, I guess that's a good move for her, I guess.
I'll tell you this right now. Titties kind of nice.
Oh, you actually peeped?
It was on Twitter. People posted it.
Oh, interesting.
And so I was like, the titties are kind of nice. Mm-hmm. Funniest comment, though, was somebody who was also an OnlyFans person. They're like, it's really not cool to post copyrighted content. And somebody, the person clapped back. He goes, you know what else isn't cool? You. And I just fucking, I don't know why that made me giggle. I was like, what the fuck? But she has a fucking OnlyFans, man.
Look, first of all, Twitter is hilarious. And you got to give credit where it's due. Black Twitter is where the funniest shit is coming from.
They don't give a fuck about nothing.
I know. The funniest shit and the most just, like, petty. Like when I reference those just, like, fucking crazy clapbacks, it's always, like, Black Twitter, you know? And, hey, amazing.
The way they went in on the queen when she passed away was it's weird because, like, a part of me is like, listen, this person is somebody's mother, whatever, whatnot. But I couldn't help but laugh because of how ridiculous it was.
And that's our sense of humor, right? And yeah. I also feel like that's the thing sometimes, you know, that like Black internet is so good at. Like they're good at being able to laugh at themselves and just like not take shit too seriously. Because one time, bro, like, because I feel like Asian Twitter, it is so serious sometimes.
Oh,
where
I know.
I'll leave a fucking comment on, like, a Next Shark post, and sometimes people either, like, get, like, mad. When I'm just making a joke, they'll get mad, or, like, this is not something you joke about, or they get very, you know, they're so sensitive sometimes, right? To the point where, but, like, bro, were you on Twitter during the N-word Navy times?
What is that? Hold on, what is that?
So somebody from a fucking government page tweeted, yeah, we're going to start, like, we're going to get, they were trying to say a bigger Navy, but there was a typo. Okay, I'm going to let you put two and two together. And the tweet was not bigger, but it was something that rhymes with bigger. So it was like, we need a bigger Navy, okay? So then Black Twitter starts going in. Of course, people were for like, what the fuck is this? But then other people were just like making like so many jokes, like making light of it, bro. And it was so great that they were able to take that and flip it and like just laugh about it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Asian Twitter would have been so fucking, like, having petitions signed and shit, you know?
I think, like, there's a good balance, right? There's a good balance to talk about shit that's, like, real issues, and there's other ways to flip. I think it's just about, like, Black culture in general in this country has been able to make their lemons into lemonade. Mm-hmm. And so they do it so fucking well.
100%.
Like, I was, this is just some random shit at night where I was thinking about it. And it kind of blew my mind. I don't know why this was so fucking, maybe it's because I was smoking. But it was like the idea of, like, you have, like, people, it started with my thoughts of, like, when I went to Korea and I saw how vastly the country changed in a matter of 20 years. And it's like, oh shit, like, that's pretty fucking amazing. And I thought about, like, what's the equivalent of that in the States? And then I thought about, like, how everything cool in current pop culture is based off of hip hop, which is a huge part of Black culture.
Of course.
And this is, like, people who are owned as, like, property. And now they're like, everything you do, touch, and say is cool because of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking wild, dude. How nuts is that shit?
I know.
Like, just from, like, an outside perspective, just think about that shit. That's pretty fucking nuts, man.
I mean, right, if we want to go get super deep into it, because I'm sure somebody will in the comments anyways. Even, like, in terms of, like old school, like, gospel songs and, like, Negro spirituals, you know what I'm saying? They were singing them shits when they were slaves, you know, making up their own songs just so they could find a reason to
live,
find some type of happiness.
Yeah. Like, I was watching, if you guys watch this series on Netflix, since, you know, we are a food podcast, watch this series called High on the Hog. Are High on Hog. And this is kind of like the it talks about a lot of, like, African and like slave and those type of roots that are directly in our food now that people don't even know about. Like, for mac and cheese, like yams, all this other stuff is all from, like, Africa or slaves who have developed this food that was, like, given to them as, like, scraps. And now it's, like, the most expensive food out there. And that shit blows my fucking mind too.
Yeah, bro. So, hey, shout out to Black people. Hey, you guys are the best.
Y'all just make everything fucking cool. I remember in high school, there was a girl named Tanisha. This girl, she could do anything and make it cool. She showed up to school, she wore all of her clothes inside out.
And then, like, everyone was like, yo.
And then in my mind, I'm like, this girl's stinky. She has her clothes inside out. Then slowly over a couple of weeks, other people started wearing the clothes inside out.
Really?
Yeah.
Not to be funny.
They were just kind of like swaggerjacking her.
Interesting.
But only, I could never do that and make it cool.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. And it's always all, like, it was always all the cool, like, hyper-confident Black kids that would always start a trend and everybody else would follow it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool. How do you do that?
Well, speaking of which, speaking of super cool Black kids, the show Bel Air sent me a bottle of champagne a while ago that I never opened. And I said, let me bring it for me and David, because I'm never going to just drink this shit. So would you like some champagne?
I love champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun.
And it's blue. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh!
This is from France, Maison Fondée in 1898, and it is called Blue, B-L-E-U, and it is also sent to me by Bel Air, Luc Bel Air, limited edition champagne.
You sound like a French idiot.
Well, Sacre Bleu, I will take you on the back and smack you like the idiot you are, huh?
Hey, let me ask you this, though. Have you been noticing this trend of girls not shaving their armpits?
For a long time now.
What do you think about that?
You know what? Look.
In terms of preference, not anything else. Like,
in terms of preference, well, yes, I would not enjoy armpits with hair on them, okay? But would it stop me? But also, on the same token, if I met a woman that I thought was beautiful, and she had some hair in her armpits, would I be like, oh, disgusting, I'm putting my penis away? No. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, of course, it's kind of, we were raised our whole lives. It's like, yeah, women shave their armpits. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. And I feel like, of course, that is in our minds as something that we expect. And I feel like that's also a part of the reason why they grow their armpit hair. They're like, we're not doing this shit that, like, has been put into our brains and society to do. You know, fuck it. I grow hair. I'm going to let the shit grow. But, you know, of course, when you see a hairy armpit on a woman at first, it's a little, you
know.
It's
jarring.
It's just a little jarring, you know.
I had to process that shit because I've been seeing a lot on my feet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Right.
Because I feel like if I feel like me feeling that that's unattractive is sometimes like a wrong or something. I don't know why. I feel guilty. I'm like,
you're fucking sexist, dog.
No, it's just I just never grew up seeing it.
You know, we're not used to it. And
you gotta zoom in on this fool's fucking face.
Trying not to. Oh, it kind of has like a fruity kind of.
Oh, the bottle's not blue. It's actually blue.
It's actually the champagne is blue. I've never had this before.
We are in for a treat.
I think so. Unless they just do a little fucking blueberry Kool-Aid in the champagne.
Yeah. Which, hey, kind of sounds fire.
Well, hey, it actually really does. Well, cheers to you, David. So we're going to take a toast and then we are going to take a break. All right, to you, my guy. I love you so much. Cheers to your weight loss. You look amazing.
I'm still going. It actually smells like blueberries. Raspberries.
That's great. I like that a lot.
This is like fancy, but also a melted Otter Pop.
Exactly. It tastes like you put a melted popsicle into some champagne.
This tastes like West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground. Is where I am on my day.
Wow, racist for some reason.
Okay, what the hell?
Let's take a break. Hey y'all, it's Tim.
And David.
And if you want to listen to Dudes Behind the Foods without ads, now you can.
Just go to dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too.
That's dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com. Thanks. Tim,
huh?
You are a stupid, stupid bitch.
What the fuck?
I dislike him. Listen, there's very seldom things in my life that make me very envious of people, right? Not much. Absolute money, fame, power, whatever. Mm-hmm. What I dislike about this man, I've been working out since April. This guy does like one session. And then he's all veiny, all buff and shit. That shit's fucking annoying. It's kind of obnoxious. I dislike it very much.
All right. First of all, you're right.
And I kind of knew about this because you did a Barbell Brigade video.
Oh, yes, yes. It's like a quick pump video with Bart. Yeah,
but people who don't work out at all, even if they get a pump, they don't get that. It doesn't happen that way.
Mm.
And it was a little annoying. And I thought the photo was Photoshopped. And then I saw the video and it wasn't Photoshopped.
The thumbnail was slightly shopped. A little bit. But when you actually watch the video, you're like, oh, this isn't as exaggerated as you would have thought going into it, right? Well, for one, I'm a very naturally veiny person. I don't know why that is. And I didn't think it was a positive thing until, you know what I'm saying, I hit puberty in like fucking 7th, 8th grade, whatever, and I got these like very kind of bulbous veins, and girls are like, oh my god, your arms are so veiny, oh my god, and like rubbing my veins and shit in class, and I'm like, thank you God for this hack, because I definitely wasn't working out, I was just fucking veiny. You know?
I only saw veins recently. Doctors hated me.
And that's just in his dick.
Not even my dick. My dick just looks like a sausage. An Italian sausage, smooth all the way around.
I also have a pretty veiny dick as well.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went, oh my God, it's so veiny. Oh my God.
I've always been veiny. And yes, my body takes well to working out, which is always kind of like, which is why it's annoying that I'm not, like, I annoy myself because I'm not consistent, you know what I'm saying? Because I know that if I was consistent, I could build a pretty, like, solid situation in a few months, you know what I'm saying? Like, because after a couple workouts, I already see the difference. And I think that's the problem. I'll work out a couple times. Now, I have a trainer now, but before I had a trainer, I'd work out a couple times. I'd be like, I look fucking good.
Hey, you're fired. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Hey, man, cancel the rest of the year. We're good, bro.
It's only one session. That's all I need. Get the fuck out of my house. I'm do what you do.
Like, I'm all right, man. But, and then I'm just inconsistent. And literally, like, it's so weird too. Not weird, but workout guys, like fitness guys, have seen me like just shirtless pictures I post, and they'll be like, dude, you have such like a natural solid foundation, bro. If we just if you just put in the time, you could be like really like built. And then you're like, nope. And I'm like, pass.
And they get super upset.
And then I go, no, thank you. I'm going to go eat with David all day.
This fat fuck devil.
But speaking of which, we just went to a super lit food festival for an episode of When Foodie Calls. My Lord.
We didn't even get to eat everything.
I know.
It was just, it would have been impossible. I would have died. By the way, the amount that I farted after was unreal. I wasn't allowed to back into the house because it smelled so bad.
Like you were just fucking carrying durians in your backpack. That's crazy because, so when you said that you were super farty, I wasn't that farty. And I was like, that's weird because, you know, we were eating a lot of shit.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, mind you, we filmed this shit like what, that was Sunday, today's Tuesday. So 2 days ago, right? Last night, dog, I was up at 2 a.m. shitting my life away. And then
she all caught up.
Yeah. She was like, what did you eat on Monday? I was like, I honestly barely ate just a little bit here and there. And I was like, oh, it was everything from the fucking Sunday we went in. Finally had all digested. Cause I was like, I had two crazy shits last night, dog. Huge ones.
Disgusting.
I'm talking about gigantic, incredible Hulk size shits, dog.
I'm like a Tracy Morgan.
It was crazy. I sat on the toilet for an hour.
I had some ballpark planks.
It was disgusting.
Fucking Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan. I want to keep talking about the food shit, but Tracy Morgan, did you ever see his zookeeper character?
No.
On SNL, he had this, it was one of his mainstay characters. It was a kind of a feminine zookeeper, aggressive feminine zookeeper named Brian Fellows. Like he would have a little like a little zookeeper hat, little glasses, like little like white glasses, pink glasses. He would go, I'm Brian Fellows. Look at this giraffe. This giraffe is crazy. And that was like the whole shit, dog.
Tracy Morgan is just funny because he's Tracy Morgan, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't give a fuck what he says. He's hilarious.
I love it. I love, man, what a fucking dope way to be able to have your career. You know what I'm saying? You say anything and people are like, this man's hilarious.
Dude, I would be so sad if his voice was fake. Like Gilbert Godfrey? Yeah.
Rest in peace, Gilbert Godfrey. But when I first sent David a video of Gilbert Godfrey's real voice, he was shook.
I'm still shook.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. He's fucking Iago. Also, too, the thing that shocked me the most is that he stays in character in interviews.
Yeah.
Interviews!
I don't know when he decided to do that, but he's probably, I mean,
it probably changed his career.
How exhausting is that?
Dude, it's so fucking hard doing that shit.
You know who also, this is going to blow your mind a little bit. You know who also isn't what they sound like in real life?
Who?
Michael Blackson.
Really?
The whole Murasuga? He has a slight, like, it might be kind of like a slight accent, but he's from Philadelphia. When you're just talking to him regular, he don't sound like that, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, is he still on Wild'n Out?
He pops in here and there.
He was funny.
He kills it, right? Not even just the accent shit. Like, he's just so good.
You could tell this fool got roasted so much when he was younger. He's he's ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. He could roast you about fucking goddamn anything, dude.
He said some shit one time. He wasn't even, like, producers had to talk to him. Hey, Michael, could you, like, actually try and rap a little bit during the Wild Style? Because he would just get on there and talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he would cut the beats. He'd be like, hey, cut that shit. And then he'd be like, he brought up me and DC to the front of the stage. Didn't even say any type of rap. He was like, hey, Rush Hour 8. And everybody laughed. Everyone cracked up. That's all he had to do.
This is so stupid. But I don't even want him to rap, though.
Yeah.
I love it when he cuts that shit and he just starts talking shit because it's so fucking good.
If you watch him on little reality shows and shit he's been on, he'll tone it down. Like, he's been toning it down a lot over the years.
He's probably getting tired of it.
Yeah, exactly. He's like kind of trying to just be a little more of himself. But yeah, it looks good. You know what we should try? Speaking of Michael Blackson, you ever had fufu?
I have never had fufu.
And I want to try it so bad.
Everybody, there was like this huge thing on TikTok where everybody was trying out fufu. And they're like, oh, have you? Here's one thing that kind of annoys me about like these sometimes new content creators is when they try something for the first time, but they act like they had it their whole life.
Okay.
It's like, listen, you don't have to like make people feel bad for not knowing something that you didn't know yourself either. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, just share the fucking joy. You're not fucking talk down to people about shit. It's like, oh, Fufu is this. They started like naming all this like information about it. And they go, oh, yeah, I've had it my whole life. And I'm like, no, you haven't. 100% you haven't.
Maybe they have, dog.
No, they have not. You could tell because when somebody eats something and they go, it's like the first time they've had it ever. I'm like, you fucking liars.
Well, you're a fufu.
Well, guess what? You're being fufu right now.
I think, oh, you know what? I should hit up Michael Blackson and do a fucking mukbang eating fufu. Because that motherfucker goes in, bro.
Oh, you saw him eat it in front of you?
Duh, no. I'm talking about, he's posted so many videos of him
eating fufu.
He's the first person I've actually really seen eating that shit. Just from following him on Instagram. And I was like, what is this? But it looks fire, especially all the stews and shit they serve it with. It looks pretty bomb. Because, you know, I'm a big injera guy now. You know what I'm saying?
It's the stew with it that makes it look so fucking good. Like, I saw this video of a dad making his daughter her favorite fufu. It was like a chicken stew with fufu. And then she lit the fuck up. The way she ate it made it look so fucking good.
Yeah. You should see Michael Blackson eat it. It's makes it look amazing. And it also, it's disgusting. and his chick is Asian. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. He's been with her for a while.
He's so skinny.
He's a skinny man.
That's why I can't picture him eating food.
Oh, I gotta show you this video. He always does this thing also on his Instagram. He does it all the time. It's like his thing. He fucking eats the fish eyes of a fried fish. He'll always take the eye out and eat it. And like, he's just kind of.
That's some Asian shit. That's why he got the Asian girl.
I thought it was some Asian shit too. But I was like, oh, okay. Well, apparently Africans do it too.
It's just immigrants. Anybody who's an immigrant. I didn't know he's from Philly. That's fucking crazy. That blows my mind.
Yeah, man. Like, I've had like a regular conversation where he was just like, hey, what's up, man? How you been?
Hey, Modisoka. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, his fans went by. He said, Modisoka, you crazy. So anyways, man, how's life?
It's the Dave Chappelle and Lil Jon thing. Hi, Dave. What the fuck? My mind's blown right now.
I knew I would blow your mind.
He's so funny.
But speaking of mind-blowing, we went to a delicious food festival the other day, the Los Angeles Times. Let's have some churros. The Los Angeles Times Foodable. Let's bite these churros. Cheers. Clink swords. Yes, your grace. I've never had a Pollo Loco churros. And,
it's pretty fire.
That's great. Like, yeah, it'll taste like a traditional churro. It's a little crispier on the outside, but,
A Pollo Loco? You just keep surprising me.
Really good. Yeah.
Kind of surprising how good it is.
I did not think it was going to be as tasty as this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Not mad at all. I'm going to take one more bite. Sorry, y'all. I actually really enjoy this. The consistency actually reminds me of this Thai and also, like, Chinese, a lot of countries do it.
Oh, the donut.
The donut, yeah. A little crispy on the outside, really soft and warm and gushy on the inside.
Mm.
Wow, okay. Okay, so we went to this Los Angeles Times Food Festival, and look, oh how times have changed over the past few years, because when we originally went to this shit for one of the first episodes of Send Foods, I paid for all the tickets, okay? Tickets were like $100-something a person for this food festival. And we went, me and David, yeah, 100% worth it. We went, got super drunk, super full. I'm talking about I went home that night. If you look, it's called the Los Angeles Times, whatever the fuck. It's early Send Foods episodes, right?
Yeah.
But we're like, I went home that night and I was like, oh, on the floor rubbing my stomach because I was so overly full, right? This fool David walked into a bush. Fell into a bush. He was so drunk and just lethargic.
I was like, hey, I need to go walk this alcohol off because I was so drunk. So Chia sent me a video on the floor just going, because we ate so much. I felt the same, but I decided to walk it off. And the moment I walk outside, I just fall right into a bush and I couldn't get out. It was absorbing me.
So I say how times have changed because this time around, my guy, the tickets were free.
Listen, apparently it's like a 3-day event thing.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Dude, it's worth all the money because it's some of the best restaurants. Like when I was there, I was like, Osteria, blah, 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 is here. Nancy Silverton's restaurant.
Yes. When I was there, there was literally like three or four restaurants that had like, you know, their little tents or little booths. And I was like, yo, I literally have this restaurant written down in my phone as a place I've been meaning to try.
And they're there.
Everything was popping, bro. And shout out to Stella Artois for hooking us up with the tickets. They hit me up. They were like, yo, Tim, would you like some free tickets to this? I said, fuck yeah. Can I bring my guy and my camera guy and my sound guy? And they said, okay.
They were like, see.
They were like, okay. And it was funny is because I thought it was going to be more of a, like an activation at the Stella shit, because they were like, yeah, come, you know, come have a, come stop by our booth. We'd love to say what's up. I'm like, cool. So I'm like, all right, y'all, let's get a little bit at the Stella Artois booth. And I get there, I'm like, how's it going? And the lady's like, what do you want? It's like, sure. Well, okay. What? Yeah. Okay. It's the only beer.
That shit was so fucking funny. You're like, hey. And she's like, who the fuck are you?
Not really. She was super nice. No, basically. But she just had no idea who I was.
You know what was going on with the cameras and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. We're just going to promo you guys.
Like, all right. Well, just so you know, someone from your boss invited me, you bitch.
And his hair started turning yellow with streaks. He started becoming a Karen.
Yeah. My veins got super popping. But yeah, it was so fucking bomb. We were literally like, look, normally when we shoot when Foodie Calls, or maybe Send Foods, I might be calling it Send Foods again. I'll keep y'all posted on that. But when we shot When Foodie Calls, when we shoot that shit, we'll get maybe four or five food items and I'll be like, cool, ask straight for an episode, let's call it a day, right? We must have had like 20 different bites, dog, because everything was so good.
My stomach was hurting, dude.
Camera guy John went through two memory cards. I'm like, oh, we might have to make this an hour-long special.
Dude, the food was fucking popping. If there's any food festival that you do want to go to, scratch everything else, come to this one.
Food Bowl. It's worth that $100 something ticket.
Yeah, because right? There's not a single dish that you will probably eat and be like, this is disgusting. There might be stuff that you're like, oh, I don't like it as much, but everything was fucking good.
Because all these restaurants are bringing their best foot forward for this shit, right? So they're like being like, yo, this is my, like either their new shit or they're like their best shit. And they're like, yo, take this as our best bite. And oh.
Dude, they fucking had, what was it called? The sushi joint.
The Brothers Sushi,
they were giving away Toro, like Chutoro and Toro, which is, you know, the tuna belly.
And not only was it Toro, it was aged Toro.
Fucking delicious. And by the way, it's not like you grab one and you're done. You can go back for more and more and more.
Let me tell you, by the time we got to that, to the Brothers Sushi, which also is one of the restaurants that was in my phone that I've been meaning to go to. It's in Woodland Hills, like, which is kind of a drive, but I was like, yo, I really want to eat at this shit because it looks good. We were already mad full, right? And I took the bite and I was like, I'm gonna just eat the fucking a bite and so I can get a flavor. We ate the whole thing.
It was so fucking good,
you
man.
You want some champagne?
Sure, I have a little bit left in here.
Okay. Oh man. This skinny boy, we're gonna toast one more time and then we're gonna take another break and then we are gonna make sweet love to y'all. Cheers.
Rachel Dolezal. You smash it or you pass it. Look up her nude first.
Okay.
You smash it or you pass. It's actually a really funny photo because the angles are hella funny.
I gotta go to Twitter, of course, because Twitter doesn't censor anything. There's literally pornography on Twitter.
I only found that out recently. It's pretty amazing.
You know, actually, Rachel Dolezal, OnlyFans. I also heard they were trying to, Twitter kind of realized that they're a good place for porn and were contemplating, like, trying to monetize it and trying to be, like, an OnlyFans competitor.
Oh, wow.
But people were pretty, like, confused by it. I would 100% smash Rachel Dolezal. Yeah, most definitely.
Aren't you surprised at the titties?
I'm trying to debate if they are fake. Sure. I feel like she got new fake ones and then started her OnlyFans.
Because she's older.
Yeah.
So they're not supposed to be that perky.
Right. But she got a good size. Like, they're not, like, over-exaggerated fake. I love that. You know what I'm saying? Like, natural looking fakes. You know who also got tiny, like smaller fakes, like B-size fakes? Have you ever seen Wedding Crashers?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that scene when the mom forces him to feel her boobs? Mm-hmm. The Kit Kat. So that actress, I don't know if you ever watched Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, as a little kid. So that's her.
Oh!
Yeah, and she confessed that before she did that scene, she went and got fake titties, little fucking fake B-cup titties that, you know, just so she could feel confident about that scene, and they look great.
Wedding Crashers is fucking funny.
Wedding Crashers is probably one of my favorite, like, that era of, like, you know, kind of dirty comedy movies. I remember when that movie came out, it was Wedding Crashers and 40-Year-Old Virgin came out at the same time. And I love both movies, but Wedding Crashers just had me nonstop cracking up the whole time.
Vince Vaughn kind of just up and disappeared a little bit.
He's done a couple, like, more serious shit.
I feel like he got done making his comedy shit, you know, made his bag, and now he's chilling doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Also, people say that sometimes people are like, yo, close your eyes and listen to Tim and David's podcast, and it sounds like Justin Timberlake and Vince Vaughn having a conversation.
Wait, who's Vince Vaughn? God damn it. I already know it's going to be me.
And I was like, huh, interesting. I've actually heard the Justin Timberlake voice thing a few times in my life. I guess we have a similar, let's just like, speaking voice. I can definitely hear the Vince Vaughn in you for sure-sies.
God damn it. Because I think Vince Vaughn is a little annoying.
Well, you're a little annoying.
I am. He's fucking tall as shit.
Yeah, he's a tall boy, just like you.
Oh, my God.
Well, how about this? What's one of your favorite fucking sexual comedies from that era? Because there was a whole, you know what I'm saying, that was like a whole time where those types of movies were just all that was coming out.
I mean, it was anything with Will Ferrell, though.
Yes.
So Will Ferrell at that time was just making back-to-back-to-back bangers.
Bangers, yes.
Constantly funny. Still classics, dude. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, too, the one with the buddy cop thing.
Oh, yes, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's literally top five comedy movies of all time to me.
There was a time of my life, dog, where I was living alone specifically, and there were two movies that I just would always have as background because I loved them so much, right? It was either Nacho Libre or Anchorman. And I could, like, just quote those movies word for word. If ever I had anything to do, like clean the fucking house, I wouldn't put on music. I would put on Anchorman or Nacho Libre, and that's how I would kind of go on about
it. Did you like
business.
The second one?
Anchorman 2 had really great moments. It was a little much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There were certain parts where I'm like, y'all are pushing it right now.
Yeah.
Like, some of this shit's great. Some of this shit's just a little much.
Yeah, it didn't. I wish they would just left it alone in Anchorman 1.
I wish they would have. I mean, I wish they would have kept the same energy.
Yeah.
Because I think when you do a sequel, I get it. You really want to outdo the first one. You want to make it so that, oh, wow, this sequel is fucking like on par with the first one. So you kind of you're taking the next level, right? And I think they just tried a little too hard with the second one.
It's kind of crazy how during that time there was like Ben Stiller movies too. And then Ben Stiller is Jerry Stiller's fucking son.
I know. Isn't that wild?
I only connected that not that long ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though they look exactly alike.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and in that show too, if you notice like Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller's dad, he's been with the same lady since day one. And they were a comedy duo.
Like, oh, yes.
Out in the 60s, the 50s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a whole stint in a time where they were like this popping comedy duo. They were traveling, doing all this other shit. And then for a long time, he couldn't book anything.
Mm.
And then his career got revived through sitcoms, right? So
Seinfeld, King of Queens, yeah.
Exactly.
Jinx.
Well, now we have to fuck. In King of Queens, is that what happens when you jinx somebody? I don't think that's what you do.
You can't talk until I say your name three times. David. Okay, you're free.
I forgot about the rules of jinx. I'm like, why is this fool fucking hitting me?
Is that not how y'all play?
I think it is. I just hella forgot. I'm like, what's going on here?
So real quick, to interrupt, I did that to Gio one time. And she had no idea what she was talking about, what I was talking about. She was getting pissed. And we said something at the same time. I was like, Jinx! And she kept talking. I was like, oh. And she was like, okay, well, anyways. And she was like, stop. And I was like, babe, the rules. okay, cheers, here, go, what?
I fucking hate you. She's so mad at me right now. This woman hates me right now. I keep fucking up.
Okay, so yes, you're talking about...
Oh, yeah. So if you guys watch King of Queens later on, you fucking distracted me. King of Queens later on, towards the later season, Arthur Spooner, Spence Olchin, his mom is actually Arthur's real wife. It's actually Jerry Stiller's real wife.
Oh, really?
And so their relationship on the show is fucking hilarious because she has the hots for him and she's creepy as fuck.
Interesting.
And so I didn't know why their chemistry was so good, but I love the episodes when they were together because it was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
How uncomfortable she would make Arthur feel. Mm. But they were actually married and it was so, so sad. They've been together forever doing comedy since day. How fucking amazing is that shit?
Man, don't you wish our wives were funny?
Oh, dude, all the time.
Did you ever watch I Love Lucy?
Yes.
Okay, so I Love Lucy is my shit, right? You wanna hear something else that's gonna blow your mind?
Okay.
Fred and Ethel hated each other in real life.
Really?
Hated each other. Like she could not stand him. That's why they've never fucking kissed. Like I think I've read shit where it was like she would be like, ugh, can we just like. And he like hated being there. He'd be like, can I get less lines in this episode? Like they despise each other.
Why?
And for the first couple seasons or whatever, Lucy and Ethel didn't like each other.
Seems like Ethel's the bitch here, huh? She seems...
What's the common denominator?
Yeah. Fucking Ethel, you bitch. What's wrong with you?
No, but I've read some shit where Lucy was kind of being a hater. Where, I mean, mind you, it was her show, but where Lucy was like, you know, Ethel is looking a little too cute. This, like, y'all got to change her wardrobe up a little bit because she's looking a little too cute. I can't have her, like,
I apologize. I'll take that back.
But, I mean, it's Lucille Ball. She can do whatever she wants, dog.
Dude, there's all this, like, backstory drama that people just don't really know about, man.
I know.
That's why I had a podcast where I was telling people, like, listen, just take entertainment for entertainment value's sake.
Stop trying to get the fucking cheese made, dog.
Yeah, it's like, you don't know any of us, right? You don't know any of these people. All the people who put, like, the biggest front to be, like, the nicest people, they're probably assholes. And that's okay, because you don't have to be so emotionally invested into these human beings. Just take the laughs, take the great movies, and then be happy about it.
Just wait till y'all hear the tell-all about Send Foods. Oh my God, your minds will be blown. The drugs, the sex, the hate. Oh my God. And that's all just right here at this table.
It's just me and Tim in a hotel room.
Hate fucking each other on cocaine.
You're jacking me off too hard. Disgusting.
It's like, I don't have enough gravy.
No, we should do a funny ass sketch about that, dude.
Oh, yes, like a behind the scene foods. Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
Right when the camera cuts, I just fucking hate you.
Oh, that's so good.
You don't know anything about fried chicken and you don't say anything correct about the food. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm like, hey, if you don't stop being so fucking goddamn pretentious, I don't care what the remoulade is made in. Wow, yeah, that's good.
Well, we're making sketches again. I miss making sketches, dude.
I miss making sketches too, man. I, you know, and we've talked about this before. I also like the fucking Pillow Pet music video, which I like put good money into and I thought was like such an like artistic masterpiece. It's so shitty views, dog. Even if you don't like the song, I think the video is fucking tight, you know? No.
It sucks though when you put all your heart and effort into something, it doesn't pop off, and the one that's your throwaway just blows up.
Oh, I know.
You can't control that shit. It's whatever the people like.
Yeah, man. I put money into that Pillow Pet music video, right? Did a whole ass production. It's around 90,000 views. When it gets 100,000 views, I'll be satisfied.
Hey, bump those views up, people.
Get those views up, you motherfuckers. But these videos of me waiting in line at Costco get millions of views.
Oh, 100%. It's the fast content. People like fast content now. Yeah. Like once it goes past a certain time, people don't want to see it.
I know.
Unless it's Casey fucking Neistat.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. People love it.
I love Casey Neistat, man.
Oh, he's a good dude. I was supposed to buy his Tesla and he forgot.
Casey Neistat, I mean, your car right now is fucking sick.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Casey Neistat is one of those guys that I really, really appreciate because he was the one that kind of flipped my perspective on what I thought about the type of media platform I wanted to be on.
Mm.
So I was so convinced from other people saying, like, your next step is going to film in movies, right? Mm. And I did that path. And it was cool while it lasted. But then Casey Neistat, I remember he had this video and he goes, out of all the things that I've done, I've sold HBO shows, I've been in movies, I've done all this stuff, nothing ever beats YouTube.
Mm.
And I was like, oh yeah, why is this other stuff that I'm chasing better than YouTube?
Right.
And I don't think that it is. Like,
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, we grew up kind of holding it on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And I still do. You know what I'm saying? I seek that traditional validation because that's what I want to do, right? But when you put it in the perspective that a lot of people do, like Casey Neistat, and I watch this guy named Drew Golden, who's so funny on YouTube. He does like commentary videos. Mm. He did a whole breakdown of Lily Singh's talk show.
Oh, dude, that show, by the way, man, let me tell you something. Trash. Continue.
But he does a whole video, first of all, just breaking down where it went wrong. But he's also like, Lily, you know, you're making millions of dollars on YouTube. Like, why go to the side of like a late night talk show where you have to go through all these different like people and all these writers and do all this just to say, like, you know, you have a talk show on TV.
She had the money. She was doing what she wanted. It was perfectly fine.
Right.
And I've never liked her stuff, but at least it was her stuff. It was her style, you know? Yeah. And then when she was doing the talk show stuff, it's like, oh, you are not a good host. Like, this is not in your lane. Like, or you didn't, her skill set isn't made for that, right?
You know, I think it's tough, you know what I'm saying? Because I think, like, as a host, Lily could totally host some dope shit. I think it was just the wrong lane for her. Because, like, when you think her demographic...
It's super young.
Super young. And also, look, she could probably kill a fucking talk show geared towards a younger audience.
Like a little kid show.
I'm not even talking about a little kid show. I think, like, teens could fuck with a Lily show, right? But, like, when you're venturing into the late night, which is, like, it's all fucking grown-ass adults.
And also, she's not a comic either.
Right.
Like, and you could tell by the jokes that she's trying to make. Like, one of the things that I saw that kind of made me, when I watch it, it just makes me want to die. She was on The Daily Show,
mm-hmm.
and she was trying to make jokes, and the crowd was dead. And that's a crowd that's geared to laugh at anything that you say.
Well, you know what? Maybe they're racist. You ever think of that? Lily, I fuck with you, girl. I got your back.
Hey, I don't know her personally at all. I'm just saying it from a viewer perspective.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hard thing too, I think, like with me. I'm just watching things just to watch it like everybody else.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just have an opinion on it. And then people feel like, well, why did you say that? It's like, I'm not a celebrity. I just watch stuff like you guys watch stuff.
I know. I know. And of course, I'm naturally going to defend my friends. But, you know, I think it was a rough match because it's like.
It wasn't right for her.
If you get a bag, someone offers you a bag, a great bag to fucking try a new thing. Of course, you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's tough. It's like. When you're a YouTuber, especially YouTubers starting in the times that we did, in your mind, it's like, yeah, my goal is to go mainstream. You feel me?
But see, that's the difference between you and some of these other, because she was a later content creator, right?
Mm-hmm. Can I get another piece of chicken before you continue?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, and it's still warm.
Give it. All right, go on.
You were somebody that wanted to go into traditional media.
Yeah.
So you're kind of well-equipped and prepared for anything.
Mm.
Right? If I put you in a hosting thing, you would smash it. If I put you in a film, if I put you in TV, you're all right there. Because even though you started your stuff on YouTube, you have been working on your skill set for a very long time. You are prepped for this, right? A lot of these later on YouTubers,
mm-hmm.
they were just talking to themselves in a room.
Right, right, right.
Right? And so now it's time for you to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh shit, I'm not a performer. I don't know how to do things without jump cuts. I don't know how to make jokes on the spot. I'm actually not that funny. I'm just very good at creating content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different when you have to do that and you have to be willing and ready. That's why even though you could say whatever you want about Logan Paul, that's a talented motherfucker. And seeing that fool in WWE smashing it, dog.
I love it.
I fucking love it. You don't have to like him as a person, and yeah. nobody knows him as a person. He yeah. made a lot of mistakes when he was younger.
Yeah.
And I get that. I allow people to change and evolve. 100%. And I think he's different now. Yeah. Right? But when I see him as an entertainer, when I see him as an athlete, mm. he is multi-hyphenate talented.
Fucking physical specimen entertainer to the max.
Yes.
Let me tell you this, bro.
And he's kind of funny.
Look, I fuck with Logan Paul. You know what I'm saying? I think he apologized for his dumb shit.
Yeah, I forgive him. Whatever. Fuck, I'm not even his friend, so who the fuck cares?
Yeah, man. I'm not his friend either. I feel, you know, if we saw each other at an event, we'd dap it up. I'd probably buy each other a drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm
not a bad boxer either.
And look, sexy man. But, look, man, I'm all for a redemption arc.
Yeah,
And his redemption arc is, he's done great. I think he's at a point where he's moved past the dumb shit and he's just, you know, doing his thing now and he's doing good at it, you know?
Now he's at the point where I think a lot of people want to be, where he could do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
It doesn't matter because he's not financially in a bind.
His house is so big, it's so nice.
Yeah, he's never in a financial bind. He now has the freedom to do whatever he wants and he does it well. Mm-hmm. It's not like these are like crazy handouts either.
Right.
Like he does it really well.
100%.
Oh.
When I tell you this, dog, speaking of influencers that couldn't translate what they do to real life entertainment shit. You know, I was on Wildin' Out for 8 seasons, right? 8 seasons, 6 years. And there were a couple people, as far as like that came from the internet, me and Emmanuel Hudson were like the first ones on Wildin' Out. Everyone else that was on the reboot for season 5, they were all
traditional
stand-up comedians, improv comedians. Me and Emmanuel were the only ones that came from YouTube that were able to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because Emmanuel, he'll tell you too, like, you know, he's done theater, he's done that type of shit. I always did, like, you know, theater in high school. Like, you know, we know how to be on a fucking stage, you know? But then through the years, they tried to bring in certain people who were only social media people. And some worked really well, like fucking DC Young Fly. I'm not gonna lie. When they first said, like, oh, we bring in DC Young Fly on, I was like, are you sure that's gonna work? Like, he just be like talking to his phone. Like, is that gonna work? But this motherfucker kills it. And
he's
like,
a star.
He's a superstar. He'll post something new on Instagram. I'm like, how the fuck? He does everything. You know what I'm saying? And he does it well.
Sings.
He can fucking play the drums. He can dance.
He's amazing.
DC is all around great. But without naming specifics, I've been there where they brought on certain people that they really wanted to pop off. Like, I'm talking about, like, really set them up to succeed. And then, like, once those lights were on and those cameras were live, like, they went out on stage and froze. You know what I'm saying? And all that shit gets edited out. But I've seen it, been there on stage with them where they went out, walked up to the front of the stage, and then walk right back because they're not used to that shit.
Yo, I'll tell you this, man. Like, I was on a bootleg version of that show. They were trying to do something new where they stole Patrick Cloud's show. And it was a flop, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let me tell you something. It was a flop, but the episodes I were in, millions of views, right? Because I've done performative stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's in my wheelhouse, right? If you go up there and you fail on the show, you suck so bad because, first of all, shout out to Charlie Clips. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Conceited. Mm-hmm. As castmates, they are so kind. Mm-hmm. They want you to succeed. Because mm-hmm. I was on a movie set, and so I couldn't do the practice stuff. I had no debriefing or whatever. Mm. People had jokes ready. Mm. I came in, I was a little nervous because everybody had jokes ready. I had nothing. Mm. And so I came in, I was like, hey, and then, you know, Charlie was like, hey, let me just show you the ropes a little bit. You know, don't worry about this so much. Just try to play off me. I'll lob you some stuff here and there. Mm. And they made the situation so easy for me, which is why I did so well. Mm. So if you go up there in such a positive cast, because when you shine, they look good too. So everybody looks good.
Everybody just wants to put on a good show while
I'm out. Yeah, man. And I was like, damn, these dudes really helped me out. And mm-hmm. I appreciated it so much. So if you're getting all these lobs and you can't perform, this is not for you, mm-hmm. right? And not to say that you being on YouTube and doing jump cuts and jokes, I do that too. That's a good lane too. But you just, when you go into another platform, just know what you got to be ready for, you mm-hmm. know?
Not everybody's ready for that shit, you
and
know?
And people who do that probably can't do what you do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And look, and in my pursuit of crossing over, I've done some very shitty movies. There's like two movies specifically that nobody has seen. And I'm not talking about High School Sucks. High School Sucks is a great movie that will never come out. Not our fault. But I've done a couple very shitty movies. And not to any fault of my own, because, I kill my part. But I literally this morning was just watching one of them. And I'm like, God, this is so bad.
I think one of your movies was on a plane or something, wasn't it?
Probably.
It was. I forgot where it was, but then I was gonna watch it. And he was like, "Don't watch it. It's
no,
so
no,
bad."
No. I told you to download it because it's so bad. I wanted you to watch it. Yeah. I was like, "Watch this shit and cringe with me."
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking bad. But you know, hey man, it's all part of the. It's all part of the experience, you know.
I mean, we've definitely done stuff that we're not all proud of, but at the same time, it's just fun.
I'm just earning my stripes, you know.
Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of Dudes
Behind the Foods.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. I'm Tim Chandarangzu.
And I'm David So.
Make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, all that bullshit. Rate us 5 stars wherever you consume your podcast. And have a great day. Bye.
Yo, it's the Dudes Behind the Foods.